Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text on which we meditate today comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 1. There's a truth that we need to wrap our heads around, or else we will continually find ourselves banging our heads against a wall. The truth that we need to come to terms with is this: our God is a big God who likes to work through small means in order to accomplish his desired results. God is a big God who likes to work through small means to accomplish his results. Now, certainly he can work through big shows of force to produce big, massive results if he wants. And he does that on occasion, like when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, or when he nearly destroyed all of Egypt with the 10 plagues and brought his people out, or when he sent the angel of the Lord to destroy 185,000 enemy soldiers in one night. God can work through big displays of power and force. A lot of times those are more tied to destruction. And often the way that God works to save us is tied to small means. Think about one of the ways that Jesus chose to reveal who he was as the Son of God. He could have went up on the Mount of Transfiguration before the whole crowd and showed himself dazzling white as the Son of God. But he only did that in front of a few of his friends. Instead, Jesus chose a small boy's small little lunch to reveal who he was as the Son of God, as he used that small lunch to feed the multitude of 5,000. God likes to work through small means, and that rings true as we think about what Jesus says in our gospel lesson, where Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Now, we might think, why a mustard seed? Why something so small, Jesus? Compared to the immensity of our God in heaven, we kind of get frustrated by the smallness of a mustard seed. We think, Jesus, why do you bother to compare the kingdom of God to a mustard seed? It's so small and piddly. Your God, you could compare it to anything you want. Go bigger, more horsepower. Come on, Jesus. If you wanted, you can compare the kingdom of God to a big honking grove of redwood trees. But instead, you pick to compare it to a little tiny mustard seed. Because we come at this with the wrong set of expectations, it leaves us getting frustrated and despairing of the small little means that God uses. And then even more, maybe it leaves us despising the timing of how God brings about results through those small means. When we come with the wrong expectations, then we can contract a few very dangerous syndromes that leave our faith in an unhealthy spot. So the first syndrome that we might contract, we could call Elijah syndrome. This is God's Old Testament prophet Elijah laying face down on the ground under the broom tree because he's had it. Elijah syndrome says this: woe is me, I'm the only one left. See, Elijah lived during a rough time in the period of Old Testament history. He lived under one of the worst kings there ever was, King Ahab. And because things were so rough and because so many of the people were rejecting God and going to worship Baal, Elijah had had enough. And so this is what he said: I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And he laid down underneath the tree to die. Now, Elijah syndrome can be very dangerous for us as well if it causes us to look out at the world and say, what a bunch of sinners over there. They're all headed to hell in a handbasket, and we're the only ones left. Then if we think about how we belong to a fairly small-sized church body, at least as far as American denominations go, about 350,000 people, when you compare that to the 7.9 billion people that live on Earth, that doesn't even register as a fraction of a percentage point because there's too many zeros that go into the decimal. So if we think about how small we are, that might lead us to think, well, we better just hole up in a corner somewhere, keep our heads down, and wait for the end until we die. Elijah syndrome can be very dangerous if it leads us to inactivity and to despair of the promises of God. There's a second syndrome that we might consider, one that's a little bit different than the first. This one we might call glory days syndrome. This one comes from later in the period of Old Testament history. See, the people had already gone into captivity in Babylon, and now God was bringing them back from the land. In his mercy, he was bringing the remnant back and allowing them to rebuild in the land of Jerusalem. So God commanded the people to start rebuilding the foundation of the temple that had been destroyed. So this was a momentous moment in the history of their rebuilding as the people finally laid the foundation of the temple. This is what happened. The people were struck with glory days syndrome. Because as some of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple, they wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, and they wept aloud because it was so underwhelming. It was nowhere near the glory and the grandeur of Solomon's temple in the past, and so they wept because it all just seemed too small, and they despised God's mercy in this moment. So how does God restore, rebuke and restore his people in this moment? Well, he sends his prophet, Zechariah, to the people to give them this message. Who dares despise the day of small things? See, this was a great moment in the history of the rebuilding of God's people. This was the start of how God would bring his people back and rebuild them until the time that the Savior would come. So God needed to remind his people about the way that he delights to work through small means with big results. And so he reminds them, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Now that doesn't mean that God can't accomplish big results through those small means. So what did we hear Jesus say in the gospel parable from today? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Small beginnings, small means, but big results, Jesus said, will come when the gospel is at work. And if we still have a hard time recognizing the big results and the fruit that comes from the work, we need only look back at our lesson from Colossians this morning as Paul describes the fruit that came in the Colossian congregation. See, the setting in Colossae wasn't so good. The church's biggest and most impressive missionary, the Apostle Paul, he was under house arrest. He was kind of on the sidelines, and the devil had been sowing seeds of false teaching all over the world, and one of those seeds had taken roots and was causing confusion among the believers in Colossae. And so much so that it worried their pastor, a man named Epaphras, who made a 1,000-mile journey all the way to Rome to see Paul in prison and to ask him what to do about it, to seek his help. And so the book that we call the book of Colossians It's actually Paul's letter of response to that congregation. And before Paul launches into all the doctrinal content that he needs to address, he stops and he takes a moment first to give thanks and recognize all the fruits that the gospel has produced. Paul says this, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven." See, something very special and small had happened here in the congregation at Colossae. Just what Jesus said would happen in the other parable from our gospel lesson, where Jesus said, "A man scatters seed, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. And though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it to the sickle because the harvest has come." See, a man named Epaphras was the man who scattered the seed in the city of Colossae, and it grew up and it produced fruit. And now that man, Epaphras, was able to come to Paul with the exciting report of the faith and love that he was seeing as fruit of the gospel in his congregation in Colossae. And what was it that brought all of this about, all of these fruits and results in that city? Just a tiny little seed. Seed of God's word planted in the hearts of people in a city 1,000 miles away from where Paul is, but now he has the chance to rejoice in the fruit that he had come to know in that congregation. And so Paul says next, a truth that we always need to remember, a truth that will help snap us out of both Elijah syndrome and glory day syndrome. This is the truth that Paul says: the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So hear that truth again as Paul says, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, is and always is, even when it doesn't seem like it, even when the church statistics might seem to say otherwise, especially after COVID. Seems like pews are getting emptier and churches are having to close up their doors and the youth are running off in droves. But none of those things can overwhelm the promise that Jesus makes that his church will continue to go out with the gospel, breaking down the gates of hell until Jesus returns. So how do we change our expectations and our perspective about how God works through small means and is always bearing fruit through the gospel? Sometimes it just takes kind of a striking image. It takes something for us to look at. And that's the reason that Jesus so often used parables as he taught the people, so that they could see something and understand and get it. So I've got for you an attempt at kind of a modern day parable that at least helped me in my head to visualize the smallness of what's going on. I hope that it will help you. So I want you to picture Ant-Man. Why Ant-Man? That's kind of weird, Pastor. Well, Ant-Man is one of the Avengers, but he's not like the most popular. He doesn't get all the press like Hulk or Iron Man or Captain America. Ant-Man has a very special or unique power, or at least he has a suit that does. Ant-Man's suit allows him to shrink down from a full-size human being to a little tiny ant-sized human being in just one moment. And so this power allows him to escape from pretty much anything. It means he can get into pretty much anywhere. And it also means that Ant-Man packs a mighty punch, because when you shrink 200 pounds down into the size of a little ant and then he throws a punch, well, it's going to carry a lot of weight. Ant-Man packs a mighty punch. Now, I want you to keep Ant-Man on the back shelf in your mind for a moment while you consider another picture. The way that the Bible, and especially the book of Revelation, sometimes pictures Jesus. The Apostle John describes a rider on a white horse whose name is the Word of God, and he rides out weapon in hand, and all the hosts of the armies of heaven are following behind him on their white horses. And this rider goes out to battle, and you know he is going to win. No one is going to trifle with the rider on the white horse. That's the way that Revelation pictures Jesus going out with the gospel to win souls for the kingdom as he marches throughout the ages with the gospel message. I want you to take this image of Jesus bursting forth into glorious battle, and I want you to shrink it down using your Ant-Man suit into something as small as a tiny little seed. And imagine that every time a little seed like that is planted in the soil of someone's heart, well, what's happening? All the hosts of heaven are following behind the rider on the white horse as he bursts forth from that little seed to claim another soul for the kingdom of God. Small, little beginnings with big, monstrous results as Jesus marches forth and bears fruit through the gospel. See, the gospel grows from small beginnings. Maybe it may just be a simple word of forgiveness spoken that loosens the chains of guilt that have been holding on for so long and throws them into the heart of the sea. Maybe water. Just a handful of water sprinkled in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that washes away a mountain of sin and seals a place for you in God's own family. Small beginnings with big, monstrous results. This is the way that you should expect to see God's kingdom grow as the gospel goes out and builds God's kingdom. I want to close today with actually the way that Paul begins his letter to the congregation. He began by thanking God for all of the fruit that he had seen produced among those Colossian Christians. And I want to do a very similar thing because today we have the privilege of welcoming new members into our family growing in Christ. New members, some of whom were recently baptized and today will be confirmed into the faith into which they have come to believe. We thank God for each of them. We thank God for the fruit that the gospel has borne. And also we pray the prayer that Paul continues on with the verses right after our sermon text from today as Paul prays for them. He says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.